KUCI. It makes me
wanna. KUCI. It makes me
wanna. KUCI. It makes me
wanna. KUCI. It makes me wanna.
KUCI 88.9 FM in Irvine.
The opinions and views expressed in this program do not reflect those of KUCI, its management, or the UC Board of Regents. To find out more about this talk show or other talk shows broadcasting on KUCI, log on to our website at kuci.org or check out the latest program guide.
All right, welcome and happy Wednesday morning. This is Ryan Folden, DJ Ginger MC, and you're listening to Get Notified, a show where we help notify you about things that are cool. We talk about social media, the good, the bad, the ugly. We talk about talking about talking. And today I'm excited because I have a fellow fast talker here in the studio with me. He saw me, I think we've met each other quite a few times over the different events and whatnot, but his name is Tom Wren, and he is a fantastic gentleman who is doing, he is doing the dirty work. He is trying to help out entrepreneurs, and I love entrepreneurs, and I have a soft spot for female-run businesses, and for minority-run businesses, and for veterans who are becoming entrepreneurs, and Tom and I are connecting because that's what he does. He helps them out. So, welcome, Tom. How are you doing this morning?
Yeah, good morning, Ryan.
You doing all right?
Yeah, thank you.
All right. So, Tom, we are going to talk today about what you've done, what you're doing, and then how people can better connect with some really cool opportunities that they might not even know about, and we're going to tap into your brain about your LinkedIn masterness, because I hear you're a LinkedIn master.
Oh, this is exactly something that I'm excited to talk about. Maybe talk a little bit more about my background first.
Yeah, and, tell us about your background, because I've had coffee with you, and it's fascinating what you've done. So give us the backstory.
Great. Things are going to digital and back in 1998, and I realized that things going to internet, and so I quit my full-time job. At the time, I was engineering and also a programmer, then started my own company, then eventually become the leader in the supplier management space to help large corporations to manage supplies, manage bids. And the reason is that more and more corporations want to do business online. And now it's evident that everything is going online. And when you apply for university, all the students apply for universities, you have to apply online. And you have to apply 5, 10, even more university in order to be considered to be admitted and or at least get a chance to get an interview. Same thing on the corporate world. And nowadays, suppliers need to apply online in order to have opportunity to be considered, and opposed to a traditional method of knowing somebody and play golf with them, wine and dining. Yes, it's still effective, but I mean, it's more effective now to be online.
So you were one of the early harbingers. You saw the fact that the internet was coming, and you knew that things were going to go digital, and you took advantage of that, specifically for the supply chain concept. Is that correct?
Yes, that happened to be the angle. At the time, over many years, I mean, my company, which was acquired now, called ACSoft, and originally focused on helping restaurants to go online, and they can take orders online, or associations like Chamber of Commerce take orders, to go online, help manage members online. Eventually, evolved to help large corporations and the government entities to enable supplies, to manage supplies online, to enable suppliers to submit information online, and then also submit bids, quotes online to manage actual procurement activities. For example, more and more casinos and in Vegas are relying on my software to manage supplies, manage procurement opportunities, manage quotes, bids, and online it's required to do the business that way.
So when you're talking, when you say procurement, that's a hard word to say, procurement.
Procurement,
procurement,
yes.
And
yes.
You say it really fast, which is good because you know it. So what is procurement?
Okay. That means that corporations are buying from supplies. And essentially procurement is the corporate word for buying.
Okay. This always amazes me because, you know, we grow up, we as in millennials and even Gen Xers and especially Gen Z, they grow up with the internet. And I think it's hard for people to imagine a time when you couldn't just go online, Google or Amazon and get exactly what you want. How difficult was it back in the day for companies to actually purchase all these products and supplies that they needed? Was it it was just super laborsome or what?
Oh, yes. The traditional process is that they're all based on relationships, based on later on evolved to be emails, and also have to ask suppliers to come in to present, or at least send hard copy brochures or samples to compare, and also go to trade shows to meet with the suppliers, or even visit a supplier's own site. So it's very labor intensive to evaluate multiple suppliers, evaluate to compare the quotes, and so more and more corporations rely on the internet to allow supply to allow suppliers to submit information online, compare the quotes online, and so it's very easy to manage that way.
So what you did is you took the fact that companies need to order a bunch of stuff from staplers to services, and seeing that the internet was going to revolutionize the way that happened, you created a back-end software that facilitated the procurement of everything, right? So you had people that would sign up on the platform as suppliers, and then the companies would be able to connect with those companies. Is that correct?
Yes, essentially we provide software to enable corporate buyers to manage their own supplies. So their supplies are going to submit information online, or potential suppliers can apply to be their supplies.
So it's a way for those that have the products to get in front of the people who are buying, right? Because in business, that's the hard thing, is there's so many vendors for so many things. How are you found? And your software helped to connect them, essentially.
Exactly. So traditionally, buyers have to go search for supplies, or suppliers promote themselves to buyers in a traditional offline or one-on-one ways. So through online process, and it enables suppliers to submit the information to the right category, the right place, the right buyers. Then buyers don't have to go out. They can still sit comfortably at their own desk and in front of computer, then just click and compare different supplies and compare the qualifications, and even do side-by-side comparison or score them, and or interact with suppliers to get quotes back, and do side-by-side comparisons. Then they can decide who to buy from. And so the more and more suppliers, especially smart suppliers, realize they can utilize this way to gain more procurement opportunities, or
gains an advantage in the marketplace, right?
Yes.
And what's interesting is what you're doing now sort of became as an offshoot of that, because this company, this software company, was acquired, correct?
Yes. So I've been doing this for more than 12 years.
Okay.
Then the company, ACSoft USA, was acquired by a public trade company called SideQuest back in early 2011.
Okay.
So that's acquired. And so what I've been doing over the last 5 years, because I have 5 year non-compete. So
you built the software that worked so well, another company came and bought it, and said, you can't work in this space for 5 years.
Yes. So yeah.
Did you go on vacation? Did you hang out? Did you travel the world?
Yes, kind of. Yeah, I did. That's why I'm here in Orange County. We bought a vacation home in Orange County.
Okay.
Enjoy the weather here. And I couldn't find a better weather than Orange County.
Right, yeah.
So I enjoy, and also I get involved in different investment communities and become investor, angel investor, invest in companies, also mentor companies. By the way, I'm EIR expert in resident for UCI.
An EIR at the Cove.
So yes, at the Cove.
So you're an EIR, and for those of you who don't know about the Cove, it is UCI Applied Innovation. It's this massive facility that is really the central hub for entrepreneurship and innovation. And if a professor at school comes up with a brilliant idea, the university technically owns it. So they go to Applied Innovation and they talk about how the school can support the patents around it. And then there's a split rev share between the professor and the university. And that's how the university makes a lot of money. So they have people like Tom. There's a couple hundred entrepreneurs in residence or something, right? There's a lot of them.
Yes. So we do have many EIRs and volunteer our time to help entrepreneurs, especially UCI graduates and alumni, and so also students for us to have startups or and so forth. So what I'm doing now is that in addition to that, I'm particularly interested in helping minority or women businesses, and to realize that they can use that as advantage.
And veterans, right?
On the veterans, so minority or supply diversity or diverse supplies have a wide variety of classifications, including minority women, veterans, or even LGBTs, and so forth. So I can elaborate more later. So one key thing is that large corporations and the government entities, including local government, state government, are looking to spend more and more money with diverse supplies.
Okay, so you have existing municipalities and you have big companies like Target, Walmart, and whatnot. And what you're saying is that these days and in this day and age where there is an understanding that for a long time and even arguably still, you have, you know, white men that are running these businesses and they have the advantage and they're the ones that are lining up the suppliers. What you're trying to do is help those large companies, those governments find and connect with minority-owned, minority-run, female-run, veteran-run, LGBT-run businesses, because are you saying that those companies specifically want to make sure that they're also including those types of purchases to those types of entrepreneurs and those types of businesses?
Exactly. So continue what I said earlier about large corporations and government entities using online process to manage supplies. Right. One key component and one key driving force behind it is supply diversity. They want to include more diverse suppliers, namely minority, women, small business, veterans, so forth, different categories, different classifications they can utilize, and you can attract more diverse suppliers to apply, so they can consider more. So that's why a supply portal, a supplier registration system become more and more popular among all those large corporations. Now, to this day, almost all the large corporations, almost all the government entities have their own supply portals allowing diverse suppliers to apply and to be considered as supplies to them.
So you have these large companies that are going to buy supplies anyways, mm-hmm. but they're trying to diversify the suppliers. Now, that probably works to their advantage because it creates a competitive marketplace and it creates an even playing field amongst the people who are providing the services and the products, right?
Yes, in addition to that, I mean, competition is one thing, and it also is that source of innovation. And more supplies, more especially new supplies, eager to do business. And with buyers, then they need to come up with better ideas, better products, and a better innovation, and also more eager to provide product service and better prices, or some especially local vendors, and it's more timely. And in addition to that, it's also marketing consideration. Large corporations, government, I mean, they want to have more inclusion for more diverse supply base, also namely marketing base, and because end the user, those are end the customer, end the users, or in your government case, those are diverse taxpayers.
So if you're just joining us, or if you're trying to get sort of your head wrapped around this, you're listening to DJ Ginger MC, and we've got Tom Wren here, and we're at KUCI, that is 88.9 FM that you're listening to, or if you're listening on live stream, or if you want to share with your friends to check out the show, you should do that. And why Tom is here today is because he was one of the people that saw where the internet was going and looked at what existing businesses were doing and found a way for them to do it better. He created an online technology that let them access suppliers in one place and streamline that process. So somebody acquired that company. He's been chilling out in Orange County, the great weather here, for a good 5 years, but he's back in the game. And what you've now realized is that you can utilize the same knowledge, your industry knowledge of the supply portal, to help these larger companies and governments specifically look for, seek out, and find minority business owners and women-run business owners and veteran-run business owners. And that's really what you're doing now. So you're supporting innovative products and innovation, not only on mentoring side at the Cove, but you're helping those people get into this registry system? Explain how that works.
Okay, so since more and more corporations and government organizations already have their own supply portals, or we can also call the procurement portals, so the diverse suppliers can get in. And
that's interesting. So right now, if a company already has their own portal set up and a diverse business owner isn't in the system, they're not going to get that business, right?
Right. So it's number one, I mean, you need to apply to get in. And even though you know somebody inside, you still need to apply to get in.
So two, if somebody doesn't even know that, so there's a lot of entrepreneurs that listen to the show and people that are in the UCI community. So you're saying that there is a way to get in front of potentially large purchasers by applying to their supply portal.
Exactly right.
Okay.
So that's exactly the trick. So that's why I'm trying to tell more and more people that especially for diverse supplies, potentially diverse supplies, should take advantage this opportunity. And if you're not diverse, I mean, traditional business, not minority, not women, not veterans, still okay. You still can apply. I mean, as a small business, you're still considered diverse. I mean, 99% of business are small business anyway, so still considered diverse. However, if you're a minority or women or veteran business, then you have special opportunities. You have better corporation government that will consider you more seriously and also give you advantage if your pricing is same or even slightly higher than other businesses. You may still get a contract or PO.
See, I love that. You're literally helping those that are way outside of this supply portal. Mm-hmm. You're giving them an opportunity to play toe-to-toe with other large suppliers, and it sounds like these companies and organizations are wanting that. So you're essentially helping those companies get business when they couldn't have otherwise.
Yes. People don't need to use my service. You can do that by yourself. And I'm trying to give out the message to more and more people. Thanks to Ryan's radio show here, getting more people to understand that they can take advantage the opportunity to do business potentially with more and more large corporation government entities. And especially if you're a minority or women or veteran business owners, if you own more than 51%, then you have a huge advantage. And then if you're looking to start your own company, or your company looking to seek investments, you should use that advantage.
Yes.
And or even plan on it. And if you're not, you may consider a partner or work with diverse supply owners and to jointly achieve a win-win situation.
Wow, I love that. So what you're saying is that if you are a 51% owner as a minority owner, or if you don't have diversity on your team, that's an advantage, could be an advantage that you're missing. And you've been to a few of our OC Tech Happy Hour shows, correct?
Yes.
Yeah. And they're a lot of fun, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes, yes. Very excited. Happy Hour drinks.
Yeah, Happy Hour drinks, and you got the Ginger MC and everything. And, you know, this last show you came up to me, and what I love about what you're doing is how excited you are. And, I mean, it just comes through with your voice. I mean, you're just like, you can tell that you really love what you do, and that's exciting. And you came up to me and you said, Ryan, I want to talk with you because you're in front of all these startups, and I want to continue to speak about this and spread the word. And so here we are after a conversation. And our show, we'd like to talk about how to take a message. So your message is how to get in front of more of a diverse group of entrepreneurs and business owners, small, medium, large, to help them out. Everybody else has their own passion that they're seeking after. But the challenge is, how do you get that message out there? And that's where really I think I can help you out. Because the more people you can expose this message to, the more benefit it brings them, and it brings society, and it brings equality within business and all that stuff. But whether it's this or something else, you know, there's different channels. And the internet, just like it revolutionizes the way that businesses are ordering products, the internet is revolutionizing the way that we spread our message. And so for all of you listeners, whatever your passion is out there, I want to dig into some of what has made you successful in getting the message out there, and what are some of the things that you need to learn, and then we can all learn together. So from an online standpoint, I mean, you made your money with it, you sold technology around it, now you're back in the game, and your goal is to spread that message. Are you using any social media platforms to help spread this message or find these business owners?
Yes, it's a combination. Right now I'm still exploring, I'm learning. And from that perspective, I've been doing B2B side for many years. And so now I'm learning more in the LinkedIn and Facebook. And so I realize the importance of instead of telling the story one by one, I mean, if we have a recording of the radio and publish, say, at LinkedIn,
yeah,
or publish at the Facebook, and or publish on my website, then more people are going to benefit, and they can get more excited about the transferring forwarding the
just sharing that information.
Exactly.
I meet a lot of people, and they know me as somebody who is passionate about social media. And for me, it's really, I'm passionate about communication. And social media, I believe, is an amplification tool. So a lot of people say, well, Ryan, I just want to leverage social media. I want to use social media. I like to think of it as like a bullhorn, right? You got to first figure out what you're going to say. You just can't go onto LinkedIn and then expect things to happen. So let's talk a little bit about LinkedIn and your strategy. So how do you use LinkedIn to support getting your message out there?
Okay. Yeah, right now I've been still doing some traditional ways, and I just connect the ones I used to do business with.
So let's talk about that maybe. Mm-hmm. What are some, because this is interesting, there are traditional ways, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, we had coffee and we had a great conversation over an hour, mm-hmm. but you'd have to repeat that 1,000 different times to get in front of 1,000 people. But we could take this radio show and we could share it, and 1,000 people could listen to it. I mean, there's
exactly.
probably thousands of people listening now, right? So it's almost like using... Here's an interesting analogy. People who maybe are more old school, maybe they didn't grow up with the internet or they're intimidated by it. Mm-hmm. Imagine for a second that there was no internet. And it's about calling people. It's about meeting people. You came up after the show and said, Ryan, like, I want to talk with you. Like, we talked in person. IRL. That means in real life. Tom's writing this down. IRL is in real life. So these strategies, as in communicating and talking with people, these are age-old strategies, but now with the use of social media, you can amplify that message. And it sounds like you're using LinkedIn to do that. Like, you're thinking, this radio show, I'm going to talk once, and then we'll share it a whole bunch of times.
That's great. Yeah, that's exactly I'm even more excited about. And exactly as you, Ron, you've been saying, that over the last many years, I've been repeating this message one-on-one so many times. Every time on
how many times do you think you've repeated this message?
Probably thousands of times. So, imagine every year. I mean, each event, I might say for a Chamber of Commerce event or networking event or investor, entrepreneurship, get together meeting. And the average, you talk to 10 people. So you repeat this message 10 times. If they happen to be a minority of women or small business or veterans, I even spend more time averaging at least 5 minutes to explain.
It's exhausting,
exactly,
right?
Exactly. So it's that's why the social media is also very powerful. When you record once or you write an article once, actually I just recently wrote some article ready to be published as well, and then people can read that. Not only can read that at their own leisure, but also they can forward information to other people. And not only can forward through LinkedIn, also Facebook, other things. There's something called the WeChat.
Let's talk about WeChat real quick, because that's huge overseas, right?
Yes.
And one of the things that I talk about a lot is a selfish hat, right? Mm-hmm. You came up to me and you said, Ryan, I want to tap into your network and have you help me get in front of minority business owners, women business owners, veteran business owners. And I'm like, I'm all ears. Like, I'd love to help you with that. I speak at Camp Pendleton. I'm a big supporter of any entrepreneur, and even more so when maybe they have an inherent disadvantage based on the system that's set up. But I was telling you what I'm looking to speak more internationally. And, you know, I want to go speak in China. And you're like, well, let's talk, right? Mm-hmm. So WeChat is huge over there, right?
Yes. Yeah. For myself, was born and raised in China, a city called Suzhou, China. I'm going back this weekend, and all Chinese, I would say, so far 99% Chinese I know of that all use WeChat.
And 99% of Chinese people use WeChat. What is it? Explain. So I have this thing I call a GTO, and it's like a timeout. It's mm-hmm. a grandma timeout. Mm-hmm. Like, if you were to explain WeChat to a grandma who has no idea about social media, how would you explain WeChat?
Okay. So, as a matter of fact, all grandmas are using WeChat now already. I mean, probably more than 1.2 billion users
wow.
using WeChat.
Okay.
And also, more non-Chinese are using WeChat as well.
So, we are going to chat about WeChat. Okay.
So WeChat is a combination of WhatsApp, it's a combination of Facebook, and it's instant messaging. You can also record messages, and if you send a message or leave a message and find out that you made a mistake, it can be recalled back.
Oh, wait a minute, really? So you record messages like a video message or even an audio message? Is
yes.
that what you're saying?
Yes, you have 2 minutes, 2 minute window.
Oh,
within
really?
2 minutes, you can recall. So it happens so many times.
I did not know this. Okay. See, I've heard of WeChat, but I haven't, I'm not on it.
Right,
I don't understand it.
Yeah,
so you can, okay, for everybody who is paranoid about sending something and then wanting to retake it, WeChat, this is awesome. You put a message together and you send it, and you have a 2 minute time for you to pull it back.
Yes, and recall the other side will never see it.
Right.
Okay.
That's cool.
But however, if other side sees it at the moment you send it, and then they see it very quickly, you need to finish reading, it's a record.
Ah.
Okay, that's very, very, very interesting. And then However, I mean, in addition to this functionality, they also have like a sharing moments, and it's very much like a Facebook sharing pictures.
Okay,
and you can forward to.
So you have a profile, and it's like, how would I find you on WeChat? I'd have to have the actual app.
Oh yes, yeah, it's very easy. It takes you like a minute or two to download.
Okay, so for all of you out there who are curious about WeChat, I'm going to do this right now. I'm going to go. I've got an Android, so I'm going to find my Google Play Store. If I can find it here. Okay, there we go. Google Play. And I am going to search. It's just WeChat. I'm going to search for it. And there we go. WeChat. Is this it right there? Like two little ghosts?
Yes.
Okay, so it's got 4.2 out of 5 stars. And I'm going to go ahead and install it. Holy moly. Whoa, wait. I accidentally clicked cancel. Okay, I want to install. Okay, there. It's working. It's got 4.2 million. You know what? It says I don't have enough storage on my phone.
we'll deal with it later.
We'll do it later. But hey, this just means that I'm using my phone. I have a chance I can get rid of some stuff here. This is interesting. So let's see. I've got Bank of America, need that. Outlook, need that. Power Director, all these different things. That's the challenge with phones. Okay, I don't need GroupMe. Let's see. I don't need that Socio. Venmo I need. Okay, I'm doing a little house cleaning here. I'm going to get rid of my Samsung VR mobile. If this is motivating you to get rid of your some extra apps, then this is good for you. Okay, let's see. I'm going to continue, and apps will be removed, and now we're downloading. Very cool. So WeChat has 100 million downloads, at least on this platform, and has 4.2 million reviews. Wow, that's a lot of people.
Yeah, and definitely have more users than WhatsApp.
Yeah.
Okay. And that's also one
of the... Wait, WhatsApp is different than WeChat?
Yes. that's the key reason why Facebook bought WhatsApp, and a lot of people don't know, was because of WeChat.
Okay, I am the social media guy, but this is all great news to me. So Facebook bought...
WhatsApp. Because of WeChat. Yeah, because they realized WeChat has more users, more influence than Facebook at the time.
Wow.
So they bought WhatsApp, so they're not going to counterbalance WeChat. But another thing, we're talking about WhatsApp. Here at UCI, I know that there are so many Chinese.
Yeah.
Students and
international
faculties.
Students, yes. And faculty and everybody. Yeah, okay. We have a.
And I would say that I would bet 99% Chinese on campus are using WeChat.
Wow. Okay. So are they using that instead of text messaging, instead of email?
Exactly. I mean, you can also call each other. Have groups, and you can do all. I mean, I live and breathe WeChat. I mean, I rely on WeChat to do business with everybody I know.
Wow.
I mean, who are Chinese. Some actually are investing companies. One of the companies I invested called College 68. It's providing service for students, especially Chinese students coming here to buy cars or buy...
Like a Craigslist almost. See, this is it. Last week, we were talking about bots, and I said that I was going to create a Ginger bot. So this whole chat thing is good. So I'm going to create my own app called Ginger Chat, and then I'll copy the same functionality, and I'll see if I can get all the gingers on.
But anyway, what I'm trying to say that the owner of the company is not Chinese. He's using WeChat effectively.
Really?
Okay. So more people using WeChat, and if the audience never use WeChat, I don't get a benefit from advertising this. But
you're not a sponsor of it.
But I would say that if you use WeChat, it's so easy for you to make friends with Chinese. If you tell Chinese, say, should we exchange WeChat? You will immediately see people's eyes light up. So, oh, wow, you use WeChat?
Okay. So note to everybody who wants to connect more with the Chinese people here on campus and Chinese people in the world, let's get on WeChat. And we are 97% downloading, so I'm going to be one of them. From a WeChat standpoint, I know you're going to share this radio show on your Facebook and your LinkedIn. Can we share it on WeChat? On WeChat,
of course.
Too?
Yes. Something. I mean, if it's a video clip or a radio or a clip or pictures or articles, can all be shared through WeChat.
Okay.
And it's very easy. I mean,
I've got a pop question for you here, and this is for everybody else out there. So we talked about WhatsApp, and now we're talking about WeChat. Do you know about tweet chats?
No, really?
Tweet, like, you know, Twitter?
Okay.
Do you know about tweet chats?
Not really.
Okay, this is good. So we're all learning here,
okay.
Right? For all of you listeners out there, tweet chats are conversations threaded around a certain hashtag. And you can actually go to tweetchat.com. And certain people, like, you know, Winnie Sun has a financial one every Wednesday from 11 to 12. And everybody logs on to Twitter or to TweetChat. And then they all have a conversation and ask questions. And everybody chirps in based on a certain hashtag. So it's funny. Like, I see WeChat and I often do a tweet chat, which is using Twitter to have a larger conversation with a group.
Oh, I need a little more on that.
Okay. I can share with you that. What we could do is... Let's say that we want to get the information out to entrepreneurs about how they can get more business by getting into the buying systems and the supply chain systems of these bigger companies. So where are those entrepreneurs? They might be on a tweet chat talking about marketing. They might be on a tweet chat talking about startups. So we could search for hashtags and search for tweet chats. And then you can join in the conversation. And everybody that's using that hashtag is either an entrepreneur or excited about being an entrepreneur, or they're excited around that topic. And so I'll be on tweet chats and I'll gain a number of followers and connect with a lot of people based around a certain topic. So, for example, we could probably do some research and find some tweet chats that it's almost like a radio show where everybody would be involved. Like, imagine if I asked you a question and everybody else was answering and it was this sort of like organic tweeting mess.
Okay, sounds great.
So we're going to take this show. Yeah. So our whole message here is, one, sharing your message, which is if you're a minority business owner or a female business owner, or you are LGBT or veterans, somebody who's maybe underrepresented, you can apply and get into the supply chain systems and have a better chance of a large company or medium-sized company or even a municipality giving you a fair shot at their business.
Yes. I want to add though, in order to qualify as a minority or women certified company, you need to own more than 51%. So keep in mind, and it can be different ethnicity, like African American or Asian American can partner together to own more than 51% in total. Then you're qualified to be a minority owned. And if you're women and you've combined 51% or more owned, and then you can certify through one of the certified agents to be a certified minority or women business. You don't have to be minority or women. It could be minority or women or veterans. And then you can take advantage of those procurement opportunities, contracts. And however, you don't have to. I mean, if you're a small business, you still have an advantage to get in. And even though you're not a small business, you still can apply through the supply portals. I mean, but if you happen to be in the right categories, I mean, your chance to get greatly enhanced.
It increases. Now, I've got a question for you. Mm-hmm. This is a very serious question about underrepresented groups. What about gingers? Okay. What about red-haired gingers, people with red beards, people that go and identify with the ginger with the freckles and stuff? Are they underrepresented? Are they part of that?
that'll be interesting.
Probably not. Probably not. Yeah, but that's okay. So we're talking about this message, right? Where do people go and how do they find out more information about this? And then I want to continue on talking some strategy of how you can get this message out there. Because this radio show, the WeChat, the tweet chats, the Facebook, the LinkedIn, these are all amplification tools to get your message out there. And everybody's got a message that they want to share. So what I want to do is, where do people go? Do you have a website they can check out? Where does somebody refer to? So if you know an entrepreneur that is struggling, and they're all struggling at the end of the day because you are never satisfied and you want to help them get more business, where would they go, Tom?
Okay. So that in many ways to find out more about supply diversity. The keyword is called supply diversity. Supplier, SUPPLIER, supply diverse, DIVER, SITY, supply diversity. And so if you type in the keywords, you will see a lot of links, a lot of articles. And if you want to understand more about a supply portal or how to get into supply portals, then you can go to my website, my Global XLR, called globalxlr.com. And you can find out more information about supply registration service and so forth. And
what about having them reach out to you on LinkedIn?
You can, yes. I mean, you can easily find it. Search Tom Wren, T-O-M, space R-E-N, okay. Very short name.
Tom Wren.
Tom Wren and Global XR, if you type in. Chances are, if you type in Tom Wren, my name probably come up first at LinkedIn right now. Most people try it, and it worked that way. And,
so I want to hear a story. Like, I love stories, and people are going, yeah, Ryan, I hear you, but I don't believe you, okay? Mm-hmm. And that's totally fair. These minority groups get the short end of the stick a lot, and I want people to know, can you give me an example? What is a story of somebody that did this that it created success with, where they weren't getting business before and now all of a sudden they are? Somebody that either you invested with or that you helped with. What's a real life story?
Okay, very good. A couple of years ago, made a startup called MindLab Box, and they do test kit. And a number of our investors look at this, and
what kind of a test kit?
You can buy the kit and take samples and send it to the lab.
Okay,
and get results back.
Gotcha.
So you don't have to go to see doctors. So it's a half online and have like an app kind of a process. And the key idea is, it's a disruption to the traditional. You have to go to a clinic, go to a doctor to test results, right?
Yeah.
So this company had this disruption and come up a very simple way to collect samples and then send to authorized contract lab to get the results back confidentially. So it's a very good idea. So a number of our investors, angel investors, like the idea. And at some time, I noticed that the two majority owners are women. So,
but before this, they weren't trying to classify themselves as a minority-owned business or
women. Yeah,
or
they didn't know. I mean, in this case, they're not minority. They happen to be two.
Sorry about that, ladies. I wasn't calling you minorities, ladies. That was a ginger slip right there.
Okay, no problem.
Women-owned business,
right.
Female power, girl power, go.
Yes. So these two ladies and are very passionate about what they do, and they're very smart and very responsive and innovative. So we like the team, we like the products, and then asked them, are you aware of the supply diversity? They said, oh, never heard about term.
I've been around a lot. I've been around the block. I'm like Jenny from the block. I've been around a bunch, right? But I didn't know about this, the supplier diversity. I'm so excited about it.
Yeah, now. Then I began to explain that if you two own more than 51% or maintain ownership to be more than 51% with other women-owned business owners combined, then you can qualify to be a women-owned business, then you have more opportunities with large corporations like CVS and Walgreens, the Walmart, and the Target. They say, that's a big target.
I mean, yeah. Then, wait. The target's a big target, right?
So, I mean, how can we do business with such big corporations? We're startups.
Yeah.
And I said, okay. So if you committed to go through a process to get certified as a women business, I help you out. And then not only I commit to invest, I also commit to help you to connect to those large corporations.
Because for you, it makes, as an investor, it makes the company more investable if they have a better chance of actually getting in front of Target as a buyer by being in the supply system, and they wouldn't have that opportunity if they didn't identify as a woman owner.
Exactly. And so, the risk is lower. I mean, from my personal selfish perspective as an investor, I want my investment to grow, have a high upside, have a lower risk. I mean, everybody thinks that way, right?
What a great excuse to use, like helping to support these underrepresented startups. And it's not just giving them money because you feel like they're underrepresented. You feel like you can invest in them and have a better chance at a return because there are systems set up to help them, but they just don't even know.
Exactly.
It's like me not knowing about WeChat.
Okay. Then in this case, they are very fast and they realize the benefits of being women certified. Then they quickly get certified. Then I connect them online to a Target Corporation, to Walmart, to Walgreens, CVS, and all this Army Exchange, and so forth. So they very quickly get results. Now they already got POs, multiple POs with Walmart.
Wow.
They already get into Target, and then now very soon they're going to show up on shelf, on hundreds of Walgreens shelves very soon.
Well, you hear that, ladies? If you've got a company, and I know a lot of companies where women are involved, if you have a company that you can identify yourself as a women-owned business and get certified and apply to these supply chains, then you can get in there and make targets more like targets than than not.
Okay, exactly. Yeah, I mean, it actually happens quite fast because combination reasons. I mean, the first of all, the products had to be good, and the service would be good, responsive, and innovative, and then owners motivated and responsive. So the combination of those, then they happen to be women on business, then use that as advantage. Then things happen much faster than they thought. I mean, normally it would take them 5 years at least to get into large corporate accounts like that.
Yeah, if ever.
Because indeed. And now it only took them a few months to get contracts, get POs.
So here's a question. Well, that's a great example. I love that story. Now, you've got these ties with China, and do you frequent there a lot? Do you go over there? I mean, you're going there this weekend, but do you travel to China a lot?
Yes, indeed. Okay. And that's one thing I want to say, that in addition to working with large corporations, and you can also take advantage the fact that you can expand your business opportunity with China in two perspectives. One is to buy from China, and one is to sell to China, both. And I know that currently Trump administration favors more made in China. Made in U.S. Made in U.S. But if you do both ways, if you sell to China, in the meantime, consider buying from China, it'll balance out. So that's highly recommended for you to explore more opportunities. I'm helping some of the companies do that right now, to sell to China, also to buy from China.
Now, you're saying that, so as, if you're working with China as a company, you need to, like, you want to do well, right? Mm-hmm. Regardless of your business. So by being identified and certified as a business owner that's in one of these categories we're talking about, you probably have a better chance at a distribution channel by getting picked up by Target or Walmart, which then could allow you to expand internationally as a business.
Exactly. Yeah, that's another advantage. Once you gain access to corporate, government, or government procurement opportunities, and then you want to expand your product lines. You make more competitive, so actually can win some bids. And when you give it a bit of opportunities. So you want to have more capabilities and broaden your supply chain and so forth.
Okay, so again, such a great message. Let's brainstorm about some of the old school things that you used to do and still do, and how we can translate that to using social media to amplify. So right now we've got LinkedIn. So let's think about when I edit this show and it shows up on getnotified.kuci.org. I'll tweet it out. My Twitter is at Ryan Foland, and I'll do what I can to support. So you would post it on LinkedIn. Is that all you would do, is just post it on LinkedIn?
We're
talking hypothetical. This radio show goes out, and this is for anybody listening, because people are on radio shows, they're on podcasts, they have blogs that they want to share. So let's brainstorm in this last maybe like 10 minutes or so, how we can effectively get this message out there thousands of times, right? Because I totally can see you doing the same talk over and over and over and over. So how can we make this really effective? How can we get this to people in China? How can we get this to women business owners? So on LinkedIn, you're going to post it.
Yes,
is that all you're going to do with it?
Yes, that sounds great. I mean, after I listen to the recording, I mean, if it sounds good, I post, and hopefully, I did not talk too fast.
Well, you are talking too fast, but I can
too late.
Tell. It's too late. For
that. That's my problem. Sometimes I get excited and I talk too fast, especially this message, this kind of information. Repeated more than 1,000 times.
Yeah.
So to me, that I probably cannot help it.
Are you able to talk slower?
Yeah, I probably need to have two drinks, and then I'll help.
Okay.
So
we're gonna post it on LinkedIn, but I'm stuck on this for a second, because a lot of people just think if they post on LinkedIn, then that's it. But what are if all you're doing is post on LinkedIn, that's cool. But I have some suggestions for you.
Okay.
So when you post on LinkedIn, if you just post it, it's kind of like, okay, people see it or they don't. Are there any people that you're connected with on LinkedIn that you can think of that would be interested in this radio show?
Of course.
Okay. How many? Just okay. How many can you think of?
Interested in the radio show, meaning hearing the message, but also forward.
Yeah, those people. Like, would it be more than five?
Yeah, much more.
More
than
10.
Yeah,
more than 100.
And now have more than 1,000 at the LinkedIn.
Okay, so here's my point.
Okay.
If you have at least five people that you can think of that would be interested in this show.
Okay.
Here's a really easy tip for LinkedIn.
Okay.
When you post the message,
okay,
you can literally tag them and say, hey, at Tom Wren, and it pops up, comma, at Ryan Folland, comma, at Susie
okay.
Q.
Okay.
This was a radio show that I was on with at or on KUCI, and I really thought you would like it because we're talking about how to help people become successful business owners, like at somebody who's a successful business owner, or like at this example of the ladies that you worked with, right? So you can mention them as part of it, so they get a notification, and they'll be like, in the notification, it'll say, Tom Wren tagged you in a post. That's going to make them click on it, and they'll read it.
Here's another thing.
Is that if you just post the link and throw it up there, okay, it's not very personal, and sometimes it just comes across as like, oh, I'm not going to invest my time in that. But if you make it more of a conversation, like you put some thought into it, and you're like, hey, at Ryan Folland, I thought you really might like this because it's talking about something that you're passionate about. I know that you're big into supporting female entrepreneurs, especially in this month of you know, honoring women. If you have a chance, I'd love for you to check this out. So it's almost like you're having a conversation versus just posting. And that is a very powerful way because those five people, they most likely will look at it, and it's very easy for them to like it, and it's very easy for them to share it or forward it.
Okay.
So they're like, you're getting them personally invested in it.
Very good. Okay. Okay.
Another thing that you can do, are you on Twitter?
No.
Okay.
I need to.
It's okay. Don't have to be.
Okay.
But if you're on LinkedIn, it gives you an option to click a button and also share it on Twitter.
So
that's something else to think about.
Okay.
Okay. Now, also, when you're posting something, you know how it sometimes populates a picture and it shows an image? You can oftentimes change that image to something that's a custom image. And so if you have a link that pulls up, like maybe it doesn't have a photo or it doesn't look as good, you could maybe have a better looking image. So those are a couple things. Tagging people, I call it a Tom tag because it's top of mind. Like, hey, who comes to the top of my mind and I think would like this show? And then they're not going to get upset. It's not like you're spamming them. I mean, you wouldn't tag somebody if they were really against this type of stuff. So when you post the show, see if you can tag like less than five people and make it more conversational. And that, I think, would help to increase the chances of it. Now, here's another thing. Do you ever post something and then somebody will make a comment? LinkedIn?
LinkedIn, I never really post anything yet. That's why I'm thinking about, find a good kind of post.
So I always talk about on social media, engagement drives engagement. So we just talked about Tom tagging, where you're bringing them into the conversation. If somebody gives you a comment on the post, always like it and reply to it. Always reply to engagement, because then engagement sparks engagement.
I do that for LinkedIn.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, WeChat.
WeChat. See, you teach me WeChat, I'll teach you LinkedIn.
So it's similar ways, I guess.
Okay, so that's a way we can do it on LinkedIn. How about with Facebook? Do you have a Facebook?
Right, but I rarely use Facebook.
Okay.
So in the past, I used it to play poker.
Okay, so how about WeChat? If you were going to step me through how to effectively share this radio show, because look, I'm all signed up now. I'm all signed up. It asked for access to my phone to make calls, and so now I'm in. So how do I share this on WeChat?
Okay, so you can post a simple message, then and have a clip of this and attached to it. But the one thing I worry is that if the radio show is 1 hour long, that could be problematic because most people attention span is a minute or two. So if something can post a minute or two on a WeChat, it's easy. People, listen through. But if it's 1 hour, people don't have that much time to hear the whole hour.
So here's what we're gonna do. This is actually interesting. What you're talking about is creating a little trailer or a teaser. Okay. So the lesson for everybody who's listening, if you have a radio show that's an hour long or a podcast that's an hour long and you know people don't have the attention span for it, maybe you can create a small little audio clip trailer. And it's like, hey, this is Tom. I'm on the radio with Ryan. Say hi, Ryan. Hey, it's Ryan. And we talked all kinds of stuff about how owners of businesses that are minority or female or LGBT or veteran, how they can get more business. We talked about an example of a company I worked with that as a startup got into Target, on the shelves of Target within 3 months because of this. So
Walmart.
Walmart.
I mean, Target will be sold. Yeah.
I was just giving an example. Yeah, okay. But see, the idea is we can do this little trailer, then we can go back and I can edit it and I can send you that little clip. Mm-hmm. And so you can share that little clip on WeChat and you can have the link, and that link comes back to the website, getnotified.kuci.org.
Very good, very good. Okay.
So that was my pretend. Like, I just did that pretending. But typically, if you were to do that, would it be in English or would it be in Chinese?
I'll probably do both.
Okay.
I mean, because I do have people using on WeChat in Chinese. Mostly it's be Chinese, some used to be English. So
okay.
I have to do post twice.
So here's your chance. Mm-hmm. You get to do a little mini trailer, and I will go back and I will record this as its own audio file.
Okay.
And then I will give you this little snippet, and you can put it on your WeChat, and then you can share it. But the only thing is, you got to tell people, go see the show at getnotified.kuci.org.
Okay.
Or you can like point to me, and then I'll be like, hey, it's the Ginger MC. Catch the show at Get Notified, right? Or you can try that.
Okay, very good.
So I want to hear it in Chinese because I'm not going to understand it, but I think it's going to be fun.
Oh, you mean speak Chinese right now?
Yeah, yeah. You're gonna do a teaser, because you know you're helping me, and that was a really good point. You're saying if this is an hour show, Ryan, and if I share it on TweetChat, no, not okay. TweetChat,
WeChat.
If I share it on WeChat, people are not going to listen to it. So I want you to do like a little 30-second plug in Chinese. And say, hey guys, I was on the radio show with Ryan at KUCI, and we talked about all these exciting things. And to listen to the full episode, we'll just click on this link, and then you can put the link in there. Right?
Okay. No.
So the lesson for everybody is, if you have a long show, try to come up with a little trailer, and then record it and share that. So yeah, I'm gonna pretend like I understand, but I have no idea what you're saying. Let's hear it.
OK， 哈，大家好，我现在正好在UCI 澳文大学他们采访一个 radio show 一个Anyway, sorry, I got stuck. Try to speak all in Chinese, but I have to make some English. So let me try again.
All right, try it again. Okay. Wait. Is everybody okay with them trying again? Everybody says yes. Yeah. Okay, here we go.
Oh, sorry for that. So, hey, 大家好，我现在我叫 Tom， 我现在正好在UCI， 就是澳文大学里面，他们采访我，讲一下关于供应商。那就是供应商多元化与大公司做生意的一些经验，以及怎么跟中国企业进行对接这么一些机会，尤其是关于与大公司，如果是少数民族富裕企业或者是小企业，如何利用供应商多元化政策跟美国的大公司与政府的采购直接做生意的这些经验与诀窍。以及怎么进入大公司这个采购系统的一些方法，我们做了一个采访。
And to check out the show, go to getnotified.kuci.org. Yeah! That was good, right? So I have no idea what you said, but I can imagine what you said. And it was a little bit of a trailer highlighting our show and getting people to do it. So the takeaway for everybody is, if you're involved in a long show or if somebody asks you to do a podcast, ask them, say, hey, when I share this on my WeChat, it's going to be too long. So do you mind if maybe before or afterwards, could we do a little 30-second pitch and just get people excited?
Okay.
And then could you send that to me as a separate file? And then you can share the teaser file and then link people back to the other. Because I'm not going to listen to the whole hour show, but if I know this is about how entrepreneurs can get business at big box stores by identifying themselves as part of a minority group, then like, wow, I might either listen to it or I might share it. And that's the trick.
Okay. And so record now or look afterwards?
No. We're live on the radio.
Okay.
So I'm going to go back and I will pull that snippet out.
Okay.
And then I'll send it to you and you can share that.
Okay, sounds good.
Maybe you can share that link on LinkedIn and say, listen to this 30-second concept. And that might be easier.
Okay. Yes.
Because you said it first. People don't have a good attention span. Well, we're about here to wrap it up. And I've had a lot of fun. Did we learn a little bit today?
Yes. Yeah. I learned a lot from you too.
Yeah. Ryan. I learned about WeChat. I'm on WeChat now. I'm not sure what my user handle is going to be, but I bet you it's going to be GingerMC.
Okay.
All right. Well, Tom, any final words that you'd like to share with everybody out there? And again, this concept of, I think it's really at the end of the day, digging for information. this is such valuable information, but I didn't know about it, and not enough people know about it. So social media can be a tool to amplify it, but at the end of the day, the message is, if you identify with or can bring partners in or grow a team that can have, you know, more than 51% either women owners or minority owners or LGBT owners or veteran owners, you can get certified, be in the supply chain with these big box companies who are looking for you because they have certain quotas or they want to support that ecosystem. And Tom, you're the guy to help them out and spread the word.
Yes, I want to add something. And if you're planning, you're thinking, a lot of people, especially students or new graduates and alumni, or you know somebody in a business or thinking about it. And so you, especially if you have some innovation, if you in a university has some invention and patents, you can license patents from university, so forth. So if you're thinking about those, keep in mind that you can take advantage of the fact that you can provide product service to large corporations or government. I mean, the sky's the limit. And I mean, don't be shy. And if you think you yourself cannot handle, get enough partners, when you select partners and other business owners together, keep in mind as a group, if you keep it as minority or women ownership, 51%, I mean, you have better chance. And in addition to that, in the future, you dilute your ownership by attracting investors or VCs and so forth. So you keep enough, some rooms for that. And for investors, if you find investors happen to be minority or women individually, write you checks, and or as an advisor, I mean, get some shares, and then they can contribute for the percentage as well.
So
that's
cool.
Yeah, that's an additional thing for you to consider. And before it's too late, I mean, I've seen some cases that and they're pushing me for investments, and then look at a cap table, it's already diluted. And because if you know this now, and so you'll benefit in many years going forward.
Wow, very cool. Great information, a lot of fun. And so everybody spread the word. And I hope that you learned something about how we can help to improve the lives of entrepreneurs, improve the diversity of businesses and business owners, encourage investment in minority platforms or minority-run businesses, and get onto WeChat, because now there's 99% of the gingers at UCI who are on WeChat because I'm on it. So as we leave here, how do you say we'll see you next time in Chinese?
Thank you everybody for your time. 再见.
No, is it just 再见?
再见, yes.
再见. Okay, on the count of three, we're going to say 再见 together.
再见.
再见?
再见.
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 再见. 再见.
再见.
下见. Was that good?
No. 再见.
下见.
Oh, that's fine.
Okay, on the count of three, we're going to say, you can help me out. 1, 2, 3.
再见.
All right. We'll see you next time, everybody. This is Ryan with Get Notified, and we'll see you next week. 再见.
再见.
再见. Well, I sure learned a lot, and I hope you did too. If you want to check out other shows and continue to learn and get notified, you can go to getnotified.kuci.org. If you're digging the shows, share them with your friends, share them online, share them on social, share the love. This is DJ Ginger MC signing out.